Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Lomanale, and remember, no droids allowed.
As you missed it as well.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina. You caught the tail end of Cam and I's intro chit-chat while the intro is playing. Hit that subscribe button if it's something you haven't done already. The Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network available on all your favorite podcast apps. We cover Marvel, Star Wars, obviously, here on the Cantina. General geek and pop culture entertainment. Lots of anime content on the YouTube channel. So if you're a weeb or even a casual noob to the anime scene, we're a good spot to be. A little bit of everything here. I'm Kyle, that's Cam, and we're here to do our Mandalorian season 3 episode 8 review. Cam, did we start with you last time?
I think we did. Yeah. Okay. You can go.
This was if the whole season had been this, it wouldn't have been as disappointing. Not that this was great. Don't get me wrong. This is far from a perfect ending. It's got some issues, but it was better than the majority of the season. Which is something I said about last week's episode as well, where I was like, you know, where has this been all season long? And I stand by that, you know. Last two episodes don't really make up for everything. That being said, a lot of really good action in this. Some lack of enough extras, in my opinion, in some places. Others, not so much. It did real well. Some cool moments, but nothing really stood out on the level of season 2, of course. And let us be clear, Cam and I are not the types that are like throw Luke Skywalker at everything. I didn't want him back in this season either.
In some ways, it was refreshing that there wasn't any crazy cameos, actually.
No crazy cameo, yeah. But that being said, we have characters in this that we should be a lot more invested in. And the whole time, I just kind of felt like nothing bad's going to happen. There was a fleeting moment where we questioned, not you and I, but we as in the audience questioned, you know, could they kill off Din Djarin? And no, of course not. There's plenty more to go to and plenty more to do. Yeah, but that's also part of the problem is this was just such a bland finale. It felt even more like a mid-season like climax, you know, kind of event, like a mid-season event, if you will, not like a and it's the scope and scale and it's the weight of the rest of the season. Overall, it was a middling, okay, passable ending to a very disappointing season with some good punctuations of action here and there. I give it a B-.
Yeah. I mean, I generally kind of agree with you in almost everything that you say. I think ultimately this is the weakest finale of the three seasons. And it's the weakest finale of the week of season overall. I think that's 100%.
Yeah.
For me, for my opinion anyway. But it was okay. You know, it's one of those kind of things. It was okay. There was nothing to complain about. There was no surprises. Everything was very much sort of... I mean, complain in such a way that it overpowers the other parts
right.
here.
Right.
I mean, generally, I'm watching it. I'm having a good time. I preferred last week's episode, though.
Me too.
You know, in a lot of ways, don't know why. It's just a very basic story this year. There's nothing to... I mean, this season 3 ain't winning any awards for writing. It's not highbrow. It's very basic. Saturday morning serial stuff. You know, it's almost Knight Rider level at times, but with the budget and spectacle that we would expect a little bit from Star Wars.
Is it almost like a? Is it almost as simple as a episode of the Clone Wars, or an episode of Rebels?
I mean, I would argue sometimes they were more complicated. I know there's
arcs a lot of people talk about are really good.
I mean, it does depend on the arc with these kind of shows. Rebels was a bit more consistent after a point. You know, it was.
I don't even drink. I don't even drink beer because I'm not stupid enough to drink something I don't like enough to learn how to like it. So I'm not going to go through two seasons of garbage in a cartoon to get to the one season of good.
Season and a half. Even actually, it starts to improve slightly towards the end of the first season, but the first season's just not good.
Yeah.
But Clone Wars, you know, it was more. You would take a chunk of it, a specific chunk would be great, and then another chunk maybe you would just didn't care for so much. You know, it was a little bit different.
What'd you end up grading this?
I think I would go B+. So I didn't have quite maybe as that's probably consistent with us throughout the season that, you know, you tend to grade a little bit lower than I do on most episodes, but there's not a massive gulf between us usually.
No.
And that's kind of where I probably feel we are on this one as well. Yeah. And anything else that is worth discussing, I think we'll wait till we get into the spoilers. There's nothing much more I could say on it at the moment.
And, you know, I hate to be the negative Nancy, but hey, that's what got us more views last time. No, I'm joking. We're never going to lie or become drama tubers for things. If it's good Star Wars, we're going to say it's good. If it's bad, we're going to say it's bad. That's just the way it is. Yeah. I did have some, and spoilers officially, yada, yada, yada. I did have some nitpicks on the writing because, you know, everyone's been wondering about the Armorer, even before the Spies episode, people were curious about her intentions, their intentions, however you want to phrase it. We ended up getting nothing. It was like you kind of said in our Slack or Discord, it was a poorly titled episode that threw everyone
previous
off,
one, you know? By calling it the Spies. We all kind of thought there was more to it because there had been other titles for the rest of the season, and then there just wasn't.
They're like, that one spot you already knew about? Yeah. Oh, and that, we're done. That's it. Anyways. No, go ahead.
Drama moments. Yeah.
There were some other bad writing things that I did not like. The Mandalorians on the cruiser, the capital cruiser, no shields. I mean, the TIEs come through the clouds and immediately are, and he had time to get the shields up. The troops that were just sitting there waiting would have had at least some shields up, but the TIEs come through the clouds and immediately are able to, you know, hit hull. And that was kind of just like stupid in my opinion. And again, in ships where you can program, you know, dives and AI and stuff that they are not AI, but like droid brains and stuff like that we've seen in Star Wars stuff in the past. It always bugs me when somebody is going to crash the vehicle into the ground. Like, why? He didn't.
That was one of the things that didn't bother me in Revenge of the Sith, because they set it up that it was completely out of control, you know,
was none of that. And he's like, you know, I'm going to aim it at the place, and it's like, okay, well then you still could have gotten off it at some point. Others?
He did get off.
Did he?
Yeah, he jumps out the window.
Oh, okay. Well then,
he doesn't sacrifice himself, but you see, before he jumps in, he jets out the window.
Because I was going to say that wouldn't have made any sense.
Yeah, it was a strange sacrifice. No, but I take your point that it's only little details, but sometimes these little details can be annoying
in terms of
a little scene where one of them says, "Do we put the shields up?" And he goes, "No, leave them," because he's got a plan. Little things like that can be added in to let you know why it's not.
But I just think they wanted to increase the tension of it, and it just instead I sit there and checked out of a bunch of stuff. No guards on the clone tanks. That really pissed me off. You want to talk about some stupid situational bullshit. Even if you had an all hands on deck, you're still gonna leave a couple of guards at the clone tanks like that.
And even fighting, the importance of how Gideon looks at
and,
yeah.
And Gideon would have made a stand there. He can clearly see them going through the facility. You know, I don't know how exactly he's tracking them that way. There's all of these moments, man, where it's just like, this is too coincidental, or this is just lazy, or this is just because you guys didn't want to actually think about how to write around this. And then R5, the slicing scene with R5. Fine. The only thing that pissed me off is all the little mouse droids coming back to get him. Like, you just found a droid slicing into a computer. You're calling actual security. There should have been having the little mouse droids just to hey, do you remember when George Lucas did that really stupid thing that everyone really liked with R2 riding rockets? We should do that again.
Well, I don't have an issue with R5 using rockets because they need to. They've established it in canon now. But,
it was stupid, and it's just a callback to a really stupid plot point in Attack of the Clones. So,
I mean, it was a stupid plot point in Attack of the Clones. I get that, but then because it's there, I think it's fair game. But my head canon in the situation, but they'd never explain this. There isn't any guards. Because he's went, everyone fight the Mandos, and it's basically emptied the place. But they don't explain that. It doesn't look like that necessarily. Nope. And actually, again, it's one of those things where if you set that up already, that would maybe explain the R5 detail, right? But I don't think it explains the clone thing, because why would Gideon be like, oh, I'm watching him. Oh, he's heading towards my clones at the moment. I shall do absolutely nothing and wait here. And I would have expected that to be the place. I know he wanted him to come to a specific place. I get that. But to sacrifice his clones. Of course, people are always looking into, and I think people need to stop looking too deep into the Mandalorian at the moment. I think it's proved that it's not too deep, right?
Not too deep at all.
And people are now saying, like, Gideon's still alive because that was a clone, because he doesn't have his moustache. The real Gideon has the moustache, and that guy never had the moustache, and all the clones didn't have a moustache, so he's got the clone out, he's so Gideon's not dead. And I'm not saying they couldn't do that at Star Wars, they're like, meh, but I actually kind of hope they don't do that, because I think we've had enough of Gideon now.
It's
time to move on to somebody else, yeah. But it didn't make sense to me. I agree with you that he would just leave the clones completely defenseless and then let then destroy them and then meet them elsewhere later on.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's talk about, I guess, some either neutral or good stuff with the story. How do you feel about the retaking of Mandalore? The Darksaber being destroyed doesn't seem to really be that much of a factor anymore. How are you feeling about kind of where the story went in this episode, Cam?
I mean, it's okay. It's kind of what we expected. The Mandalorians getting together, taking back Mandalore. As we said, there's no mystery or surprises here. So it's kind of everybody gets behind Bo-Katan, and she does a good job leading everyone. Then gets to be his own little hero moment off at the side, you know, and it's the kind of the focus is on him and Grogu this week, and Bo's more commanding the battle in the background rather than the focus being directly on her. But it was kind of a nice moment when she turns up to fight him with the Darksaber at the same time rather than Din, because you would think, well, Din's rubbish with it, you know, so that wouldn't have been that good a fight kind of thing. So that was all okay. It just wasn't. It was exactly what we kind of, if you were just going to go, well, what will happen next week if there's no surprises at all? Well, the good guys are going to win. So if we go by that, then A, B, C, and D will happen. It just felt a little bit painted by numbers. But the action was good. There was some good moments, you know, in terms of the retaking of Mandalore, heroic moments. I like seeing Mandos flying about in the sky fighting. That felt like a Mando type of fight, that it was more aerial than ground based, which worked. It gave it a kind of busy feeling, which there's not that many people there, as you pointed out. So, you know, it helped with that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was all just kind of like, fine. The Grogu stuff, I was mostly okay with. I still think it's... I appreciate the dedication to using the puppet, but if you're going to do all the flippity-dippity-doo-dah shit that you did with Yoda, you may as well CGI Grogu, because it is kind of too obviously stiff when he's running around and stuff like that, and it's like, man, it really just looks like you guys are throwing this puppet around.
Where it was a wider shot, and it's, I think it's later on actually towards the end, and Din's walking in and you see Grogu walking beside him and just taking tiny little steps, and I thought that looks like somebody moving.
Yeah.
You know, the way you make a puppet walk if you're a kid.
Yes.
Because you
it's
can't.
Just a bit, it's just a bit much.
It felt
just
a bit back much. To forth rather than something
yeah.
walking.
Like Yoda I said, I
normally, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate the effort.
To, so.
Yeah, I appreciate
I
the effort for the practical effects, but...
but even good moments,
even,
didn't he?
Even, well, I mean, they're fine. But they didn't score it right, in my opinion. They didn't emphasize his force usage, like when he stops Din from getting, you know, struck again, and mm-hmm. he's holding the purple Praetorian, whatever
the
stick.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's holding the stick with the force. There should have been a much bigger boom in there, some more music swelling. It should have had a much more cinematic feel, and it was just kind of like, yeah, he did it. And I'm like, you guys kind of wasted a moment there, you know?
I kind of think that was the... I mean, as a director, I think that's what he chose, was to actually do it underplayed so that the little pulls away from weapons rather than focusing on it, because it was all those little things. But sometimes you just need that little moment. And maybe
it
was because he was building up to the flame thing, and the flame thing felt kind of the epic moment. Maybe he didn't really
but... You know. I felt like his more I expected the flame thing, and I mean holding back.
I mean, at first
fire,
I thought there's no way Poe's protecting them with that little shield. So.
No, I figured it was going to be the force thing, and I see your point with that, but to me that really wasn't as impressive as combat situation. You know, all he did was basically create a wall with a slight curve that would make sure that the fire would go around. You know, he's not force power wise. It's not the most impressive thing.
But then nothing Grogu's done is specifically impressive. Force-wise.
But actually being able to think and plan and move in a combat situation, him saving Din, in my opinion, that's why I said like the moment should have been bigger. They should have made it much bigger, him using the force, and even him doing a big push where he pushes all three of them away and helps Din.
I definitely think
I would have wanted
held
more,
back a little.
Maybe I
think
they want to have a moment further
down the line where he's more of a badass, and it's like he totally saves Din maybe in season four or the movie, then they really
overworked the fire scene, because like I said, as a force ability, that one really is not that hard. You're just using the telekinesis side to essentially create a wall, and then you just let the fire go on the other side. I mean, it's not like lifting a starship or anything.
I mean,
don't
worry about it, as Kel says. It's just not that hard to deal with. Just build a force wall around.
If you're the force, if you got a Jedi, you know, if you got the force. Unless you're Darth Vader, in which case fire is something you cannot cross, and neither can your force abilities cross fire. If you're Darth Vader and you're facing fire, you are fracked,
well,
man.
I always think the Emperor, instead of, like, I mean, he could have given Vader a Beskar suit, right? But no, I think he deliberately gave Vader the worst suit in Vader. What the hell? Where did that come from? Vader, the worst suit in the world, specifically so that, if need be, Palpatine could just be like, blast, you're dead. You know what I mean? Haha, this shit's rubbish. Because why would he not have that technology?
Anyway. it was just, I hate it. I wish I, and I don't even know if I believe jammer. Sometimes I think he's just saying things to keep up a front. But I really don't. I really wish I could disconnect everything that came before. Because like I said, if the whole season had been like these last two episodes, you'd still see me nitpick at things like, where's the shields at? You know, why do it this way? Why do it that way?
I don't think my grade goes up for this episode, though, to be fair.
I think if we didn't have anything else bad, I think maybe this would have been a solid B for me. I would have been like, eh, it's kind of bland, but it's not bad. It's based on everything else that goes along with it, though. And you just, I can't disconnect, you know? I wish I could. I really do. I mean, the whole reason why
you get built up in a story as a whole, Kyle. So, you know, the season story as a season as a whole, when it's got problems with it, okay, it makes you connect less, I think, to certain characters less drama in the situation.
As a season as a whole, and we both agree that, you know, this is the worst of the three seasons, what would you grade this season, Cam?
I don't think did we ever grade the first two seasons?
I don't know if we did or not.
It'd be maybe easier to compare what I would say. I would say season two is the best. So if season two is an A, right, overall is an A, I'm saying season one, B+, because I had some issues with it, and I'm going probably B overall for season three. You know, just lower than that. Again, some issues, but slightly more than season one.
I could see that. I'm trying to look back and see what I've graded this season. So
you actually keep those notes. Mine's quite bad.
You and I, episode one, B minus, and C. That's you, then me. Episode two, me a C, you a B plus. Episode.
What season is this one?
Season three, episode three, you and I, you A, me A minus. Let's see here. Where is four? Yeah, it would take me a while to go through and find all the past, past episodes, seasons. Episode, I'm guessing five. This is a D and a C. D for me, C for you.
I mean, I'm thinking I've given three A's out of, I think, one A minus, maybe. Well, maybe it's only two this season.
I've only been down
to a C twice, so I think D for me seems fair.
I've had some C's. I've had two A minuses.
I think you're like C plus B minus.
I was going to say, I'd probably, overall as a season, as a total package, I'd probably give it a C+.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Terrible. It's not fail, you know, level.
No, but it's so disappointing.
It's not get excited about the next one. It's not about it and go, oh, that's a really good show level. And I think that's probably where Mando season three is okay. But it's nothing special. It's nothing to... it's nothing to say to your friends the next day. Oh, did you see the latest episode of Mando? This season's been, you know, absolutely shit hot. You need to go on that. And yet, I've seen myself when I'm really impressed with a series, that's what I'll do. I'll say to people, anybody watching this shit? This is really good, you know? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't feel like that at all with Mando season three. The only time I've probably felt like that with Mando was during season two, where I thought, oh, this is actually getting a lot good. And if we think back to season two, some of the top episodes, like the Mayfield stuff, right?
Yeah. That what was if definitely we had like this season?
That this season, that deep character moments, no Pedro moment at all. So no, he's just voice work this season. I don't think he was on set at all. Certainly wasn't him doing those. There's one issue I had with Mando doing a bit too many kicks. The roundhouse kick to people, it just looked a little bit too martial arty for me for how we've seen him fighting in previous seasons.
Yeah. He's been training. Come on now. Headcanon that shit.
I mean, absolutely can. It's probably, you know, they got a different martial arts because they wanted a bit more, you know, than who they've been using previously. It's something like that. Who knows? But I think I missed a little bit not having Pedro in there for some sort of, you know, you feel that the episodes previously where he's took his mask off are like, you really get to see him acting, and it's the character development that's going on, and
yeah.
And there wasn't really anything like that. If the only characters that really had some growth, if you like, this season were Grogu, communication-wise, his yeah. ability to communicate and be part of it has grown this season. Bo-Katan probably get the most development in terms of. From where she was to where the end of the season, that's probably the biggest arc, and yet it's not her show.
Well, they said that the Mandalorian is anyone that's on screen that's a Mandalorian now, not just Din. So,
I mean, they say that
the feel of it. So,
but I mean, you kind of feel like the way they've set it up. I mean, I love the little scene at the end, right, Kel, like where he's just sitting in his house chilling. And yeah, Grogu's like playing in the pond. It's a nice, you know, it's like the end of playing like a video game and your character's just sitting at the end. It's like where you chill it and go, all right, that's me done with this game. But we know there are more adventures to come, but you feel like it's going to be a bit different. Those guys are going to be there in the background, and he's going to be involved in any Mandalore politics, but he's also going to be off doing his own thing. And you feel like that could be better for him and Grogu's development in season four as well.
I would hope so. Speaking of the future, you know, he goes and does that deal, and I don't know how he expects to get paid in an under. Like, how is some starfighter captain going to be able to pay you to handle stuff under the table? Like, that makes no
sense. Like, if it's not official, where's the money coming from? How
that makes no sense to me, you know?
Does the captain get given a slush fund?
He's going to have some funds, but not that kind of fun. Not hire
maybe he's
the Mandalorian
rich, just as a coincidence. But I mean, oh, come on,
it was some thin writing to me. I was like, eh, whatever. But do you think that Din becomes the ranger of the New Republic of sorts? Like, do you think they? Because we've been talking about what they would do with that property. If he's going to be out in the, I mean, it did two things. One, he's like, I'll be out here in the Outer Rim in the wild areas to take care of shit for you guys, which keeps him nearby for Ahsoka and Thrawn related stuff. But it also allows them to go on some, like you said, independent tales. So what do you think season four looks like right now, Cam?
I think it's hard to say until we see Ahsoka and see where Ahsoka goes specifically, because is Thrawn back? I think that would be the determining factor. If Thrawn's back, then I think he becomes a threat. But my guess is that Thrawn wouldn't be back in the fold at this point, or else they would have done it there, or they would have teased it in some way as part of season three. I just don't think we're there yet. So I would guess it's what's maybe we start to look at some of these other bad guys. So Gideon's over, where they maybe start to look at, you maybe remember all their names a bit better than me. We've got Hux, obviously, that's the of General Hux that we what's the Pelion? Who's the other guy? Yeah, it escapes me at the moment, but it might be that we start looking at sort of them and whatever they're up to, and who knows, or they bring Gideon back and it's, you did not notice that I did not have the mustache. That was my clone, you discovered. I mean, I can't hope they don't do that, because
I hope not.
At this point, I'd be like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. You have surprised me so much with this. Oh, what a magician of writing. And that's kind of how I feel, rather than going, oh, I love Gideon.
It's funny, as soon as you see him get enveloped by the fire, I was like, he's not dead. You didn't see him die.
Die. That's true. I mean, they might just say that he actually, because of his ultimate Beskar Iron Man suit, you know, always seems to give him super strength as well. I mean, that is a shit.
He did say it's
dark
trooper armor. It's both. So I assume it's got some robotic stuff.
Yeah, and else, how is he overpowering and punching through? Yeah, it must be.
Anyways, it was disappointing.
I don't know if is that the right word? Is it disappointing?
For me,
it just it didn't quite hit the heights of a finale sometimes that you
is that not in and of itself disappointing? Do you honestly feel satisfied?
I've not written my review yet, but I wrote the review and I said that it was without surprise but surprisingly satisfying in some ways as well, because although this wasn't a very imaginative story, it kind of did what it said in the tin it was going to do. It wrapped up everything. It gave Mando a lot of the culture back. It put Mando in a different position. It moved him along to the next step he's path. It did all these things well. It's just there's nothing imaginative about how they got there. Or, you know, if that's not a Star Wars, like, you see, take this series out of the Star Wars universe and put it in the normal universe. Does it work in any way whatsoever as a season? Would that be a good drama series?
I mean, this season in particular?
A guy and his kid, just a normal kid.
Well, I mean, the premise, powers. Yeah, the premise, yeah, but this, not all the execute...
Drama?
Hmm?
Where's the drama?
Where's the drama? In this season, nothing.
You
man,
build
nothing.
Drama by
That's what I'm saying.
People in conflict situations. There's not
the
enough
season
there,
was,
yeah.
Was disappointing. I've used that phrase so many yeah. times, and you and I are disappointed by different things. I've been severely disappointed at the complete immaturity and lack of any type of depth this entire season. I've constantly likened it to a cartoon in tone and style, meaning that it is delivering paper thin plot. And it is delivering it in a very cartoony and silly way. And it felt more and more like a live action episode of The Clone Wars or Rebels than it ever did season one or two of The Mandalorian, which I really enjoyed, which is why this season is such a bloody disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I disagree with you. I think season three as a whole is a disappointment. I'm just saying I wasn't disappointed in the finale in terms of, like, I think a lot of people were expecting
last episode was better.
Cameos, surprises,
I'm glad
spies everywhere. And although I was kind of expecting maybe not that level, but something. But I actually found myself just going, I quite liked just the way that ended like that. It was a bit different. It was a bit of a change of pace for what I was expecting. And I was okay with it, if you like. So I can't say I felt disappointed. But overall in season three,
Yeah. Oh, well. I guess that's a wrap for a
wrap.
Season three review. I know there was some mention of Lindelof and his Star Wars project basically saying, hey, I was on it. Best of luck. What's your name? Can do a good job.
Yeah,
he didn't say what's your name. I'm saying
Shamin
what's your name.
Shamin Obi-Chinoy, who's the director.
We should be back, guys, next week with regular news. Sometimes we end up taking a week off in between because there won't be a bunch of news between now and next week, but we'll see. The Cantina should carry on. We will be doing Ahsoka after that, and that's in August. After that, I mean, at least one episode of Skeleton Crew. We make no promises for watching all of that. Maybe Cam and Shockey will or something, but I'll
watch it.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Anyway,
I'm gonna
even if
give
it's
it a
terrible
shot.
Because it's Star Wars, I would still... I mean, I'm more of a Star Wars fan than I'm a Star Trek fan, and I made it through eventually the Picard season two, which is trash. It's trash, but Picard season three is chef's kiss amazing. So it just shows you. So I'm kind of glad that at least I got through it. Maybe, but you know, so I watch Skeleton Crew anyway. But I understand you put your media.
I did that with Marvel for all of Phase 4. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing, Cam, is I did that through Marvel. I said, I'll watch it, and I hate Marvel these days. I am so jaded against so much of it, and I don't mean that I judge everything poorly. I still do my best.
I'm not hyped for Marvel at all,
I am not going to do that to myself with Star Wars. If I am seriously that upset with it, especially after this third season, because I did that with Book of Boba Fett and Kenobi, freaking hated those, And now I've been severely disappointed by the, if Ahsoka's not a knockout and Skeleton Crew, like I said, one episode, I'll watch at least one to give kind of my thoughts on tone and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna suffer. I'm just not.
No,
but
I
if you want to, I'll produce it.
I mean, as I say, I would probably watch it anyway. Yeah. Whether I would review it written might be dependent on how I feel about the first one as well. But I think even if Ahsoka is really good, I think Skeleton Crew could also still just be, I just have a feeling it's not for us.
I won't hate on it. Okay. I promise. Yeah. But if I watch it and it's like, hey,
cup of tea.
That was fine, but it's definitely for kids and not for me. That's fine. I'm not going to hate on something that's not for me. The Clone Wars.
I mean,
I'm
completely wrong, and I'm like,
yeah, I hope it's amazing for all fans.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I've said it, and I'll say it 1,000 times more. The Clone Wars and Rebels are not for me. That's fine. I get that there are fans like me, old and older than me, that got into it. I didn't, and that's okay. While I'll rag on some of the fandom about it, and I'll say personally, I don't care for the story and style. I hate the art, but in general, it's not for me. Yeah. So that's okay. I don't rag on it. But Mando season 1 and season 2 were for all Star Wars fans. This was just for frickin' prequel era Clone Wars Rebels fans. Like, it just, anyways. Anything else Star Wars related today, Cam?
No, nothing.
While I fix the browser thing, guys, be sure to check out more content here on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Anime content out the ass, reactions. We've got like 5-6 things going on right now. Reviews, Star Wars and Marvel reviews on and new stuff on Cantina Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. Look for the Marvel thing to return with
Secret Invasion.
Guardians.
Oh, Guardians. Secret Invasion. I'm forgetting. Yeah, I'm thinking Invasion TV rather than movies.
Yeah. And then Daily Cog, Breaking Geek for everything else you can imagine and entertainment news needs. And that's the website side. If it's not a reaction video, it goes up on your favorite podcast apps, written news and reviews, celebrity interviews and more at lrmonline.com. Cam, anything else for the good people today?
Now, if anybody would like to write about whatever they're into, whatever your genre is, whether it be anime, manga, comic book stuff, Star Wars, sci-fi that we're not into, stuff that I think's crap. If you want to write about stuff that I think's crap, come and we'll give you a platform to do that, because it's not about just what we want to write about, but I can't write about stuff I have no interest in. So, if you feel that there's something you're missing, give us a shout. Our details, you can find them all on screen. You can get us on the website at lrmonline.com, and please reach out to us, because we'd love to give people an opportunity to just get their geek on. Ultimately,
there you go, get your geek on. Bye guys, may the force be with you.